it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. And I get real frustrated. And like, I try hard to do it, and I like take my time, but it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I concentrate on real hard, but it just doesn't work out. And everything I do and everything I try, it never turns out. It's like, I need time to figure these things out. There's always someone there going, hey Mike, you know, we've been noticing you've been having a lot of problems lately, you know? Maybe get away. And like, maybe you should talk about it, you'll feel a lot better. And I go, no, it's okay, you know, I'll figure it out. Just leave me alone, I'll figure it out, you know? I'm just working on myself. And they go, well, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'll be here, you know? And you'll probably feel a lot better if you talk about it. So why don't you talk about it? I go, no, I don't want to, I'm okay. I'll figure it out myself. They just keep bugging me, and it builds up inside. It's got to be a suicide, so come on, break with my side. You will not have any say, I'll break with you, just get away. I'm not crazy, here's the desire. The other one is crazy, here's the desire. You're tired of being crazy, here's the desire. They take me in an instant, cause that was the only solution to get me needed for best love. Thank you from the enemy, myself.
Yeah, institutionalized. So, I just had an interesting weekend. I was taken into custody by the police. I told them they couldn't enter my apartment. LAPD laughed in my face and put cuffs on me. And basically, I was handcuffed and then taken down to City Central East police station, where I was then additionally handcuffed to a bench facing the wall, while crackheads and Skid Row drifters were carried in. Several guys sitting next to me. One guy, dreads, slobbering all over himself, couldn't even hold himself up. Cops are making jokes. Oh, you smoke a little too much. It's a little too much crack. Some other crazy fucker a few spots down from me on the bench, just out of his mind, telling the cops that he owns the IRS. And, you know, nobody better fuck with him, or they'll see what happens. And another guy, not insane, but resigned and hopeless to the system. This guy's just like, I've been in and out of jail. And anyway, I was subjected to these things. And after that, I was taken to, on a stretcher, strapped down, arms strapped to the gurney, rails on each side of my body, strapped down in those kind of, leather straps that you see on TV whenever they're trying to detain a psychopath that's lunging with a sharp object. You gotta strap that fucker down with those leather straps. So I was taken away in leather straps. You know, and up to this point, I've been, no resistance. I know when I'm fucked. I know what I had no place to go, nothing to do. I'm done. I'm strapped to this hospital bed, and I'm in the back of an ambulance headed toward Sylmar. Olive View Emergency Psychiatric Ward. I made a Facebook post. It said, should I pay my rent or should I overdose on Xanax? One of these things would take care of all of my problems. And then I wrote, is this too dark? You can argue that that wasn't the smartest post to make publicly on the internet. And I know that people that don't know me could potentially interpret that to be something fairly serious. But I don't know. Everyone that knew me here in Los Angeles, my family in Los Angeles, the people that spend time with me and take the time to actually get to know what type of person I am and what I like and people that drink with me and have fun with me, they all knew I was joking from the many comments that that post received, that people telling me to shit my pants and then pay my rent and then OD on Xanax in that order or something. You know, just silly comments. And whether, you know, you agree with this if you find it funny or not, I mean, fine. Like, it's not the best fucking joke in the world and never claimed for it to be, but it was actually a reference to a John Waters movie, Cecil B. Demented, where one of the characters says, you know, he used to have a lot of problems until he started using drugs. Now he just has one problem. And, you know, the comment was kind of loosely based on that movie quote. But anyway, someone who doesn't even know me, I don't know if I even ever met this person. This person used to work under my mom, apparently. Took it upon herself to contact my mother in Pennsylvania, 3,000 miles away. And tell her how concerned she was about my post. And my mother told my sister, and my sister took it upon herself to contact the police. And they came and did the job they were supposed to do for a 5150. I don't know what it is about the system that seems to get things wrong so often. And I've been exposed to the system as a young child. My mother, for some reason, couldn't handle me then. And I was placed in facilities designed to keep troubled youth on the straight and narrow. My mother would always accuse me of doing drugs as a kid. As a young kid, I would come home and I was a cocky kid. I was a smart ass. I didn't have any respect for authority. On any level, school, parents. Sometimes I would stay out late. I remember a time that I was playing Excitebike. You can make your own tracks on Excitebike. And I was playing Excitebike late at a friend's house, and I came home, and my mother was at the door waiting for me and hit me in the face as hard as she could. And then she would grab me and look at my eyes. Look at your eyes. What are you doing? What drugs are you on? Look at your eyes. I was never on drugs. Never happened. I was against drugs. I live in Los Angeles now, and I talk to people who were born and raised here in Los Angeles and am shocked at the amount of drugs that was being done by young kids. And this is almost everyone I talk to had some experimentation with drugs as a young kid. And I was with someone tonight that told me, you know, when she was 16, 17, you know, her and her friends would go to raves and do ecstasy, and, you know, which is what you're supposed to do when you go to a rave. But it just shocks me because so many of the adolescent issues that exist here in Los Angeles, in a real city with real people doing real things, trying to become something interesting with their life. These people grow up in this environment, and the chances of success are much higher than they are where I'm from, because where I'm from, successful means you don't go anywhere, you don't do anything. You stay right where you are. You don't rock the boat. You shit out some kids. You get a house. You watch TV. You go to work. You take care of your kids. That's it. There's no culture. It is a cultural vacuum where I'm from. There is no art. There's just self-loathing, self-hating individuals that do not want to see yet another person do something more than they could even imagine. Do something more with their lives than what they're ever capable of doing with their lack of courage to leave the nest, to get away from the familiar, to challenge themselves with something spontaneous and dynamic. Leave the area. Try something inspirational. Create art and influence people to look beyond their feeble beginnings. There's no desire to do that where I'm from. People where I'm from wouldn't understand my lifestyle here in Los Angeles and what I've actually become quite accustomed to in terms of everyday life and walking out on the street and seeing the city change and the neighborhood change and see people trying their hardest to have an influence or an impact on the lives of those around us. Wake people up to the realities of society and show them that there's many different ways to live this life, and there's many things you can be, and all you need to do is want it enough. People come here to Los Angeles from all over the world because they come to a place where there's an opportunity to explore. You're given an environment here where you can experience whatever it is that you want out of life. And it's funny because most native Angelinos here, I don't think they understand the importance of the city that they grew up in or what this city means in terms of opportunity, because they haven't lived in places where there just is not shit. It is just shit on top of shit, and nobody will ever do anything. I don't know. You know, I may sound like a condescending asshole, you know. Hey, if those people want to do nothing with their lives, that's their choice. You're right, it is. It's their choice to do nothing. But when you have made the decision to do nothing with your life, and then you force that decision on people that do want to do things with their lives and do want to live differently, whether you agree with it or not, or want to take a look at life from a different perspective than what you're capable of in your shithole small town, where all you do is gossip about bullshit and meaningless things all day. When you want to take away a person's freedom, their free will, and you want to force your beliefs on them, and you want to tell them, hey, clean your shit up, snap out of it, be this way, don't be so emotional, don't break down, don't feel anything that you're feeling right now. What you're feeling right now is wrong. When somebody does that to you, they strip you of your freedom based on what? A Facebook post? Do you know me? Does my family know me anymore? Can they possibly relate to who I am? After living here for so long, getting the fuck out of that shithole town as fast as I could, so I could see how people that want to have an influence or an impact on this life, how they live and what their culture's like, coming to a place where they're, you know, like, where I'm from, it's a bunch of racist, small-minded, do-nothing deadbeats. Pure racism. Now, racism exists everywhere. But there's a purity to the racism where I'm from that is just handed down from generation to generation. And the irony is that town is so empty of cultural influence. There's zero ethnic mixing. It's 99.9% white, and they're the most racist fuckers I've ever met. I mean, you would think that if you would have an ideology that is against a specific race or multiple races, that would be derived from some type of experience with another fucking race. Well, I went to Sylmar, the Olive View emergency nut job facility. I was evaluated while on the gurney in my straps by a guy who was going down the line of the strapped insanity that was brought into that hospital room, that emergency room. Some quick questions. Why do you want to overdose on Xanax? I don't. It was a joke. It was Facebook. What the fuck are you talking about? You know, obviously I didn't say it that way. I can play the fucking game and, you know, don't reveal any frustration. You were just locked to a fucking bench in Skid Row next to crackheads and murderers and all kinds of low life scum in Skid Row. You're sitting there for 4 hours in cuffs. The cops enter your apartment without your consent. They tell you that what you're doing is wrong, and you gotta, sorry, buddy, you ain't doing shit today. I was supposed to meet one of our hosts at Sirius Studios in Glendale. We've been fortunate enough to be given some of these opportunities to broadcast some of our shows and get a bit of exposure on Sirius Satellite Radio, which for this studio is a huge thing. And I'm telling the cops as I'm brought into this place as a potential danger to myself or others. I'm saying, hey, you gotta let me go. This is a huge mistake. I'm supposed to be at Sirius Satellite Radio at 2 p.m. to meet with Keith Coogan, the star of Adventures in Babysitting, on the Playboy Channel. If you walked into a room filled with people drooling on themselves and telling the cops that the guy's in rags, barely able to keep his head up, telling the cops that he's the head of the IRS. If I was amongst those people and I told this cop this, the cop looked at me like, okay, buddy, go ahead and think that. But it was the truth. And to be able to even say that is amazing and a testament to the power of Los Angeles, that I'm even here right now, that I'm able to have a radio studio that I've seen with my own eyes have had some brilliant moments in the past year and a half. Built this from scratch, never having even known what, never even looking at a radio studio before, and basically building this thing on my own, doing my own research and trying to understand how radio works. That is a testament to Los Angeles. Anyway, I'm in this place, and I get this evaluation, and the hallway evaluation by some intern that is the assembly line intern that's given the shit work. Hey, go do an initial evaluation on these fuckers sitting in the hallway. He asks me all the standard questions. Do you hear voices in your head? You know, do you feel suicidal? Do you ever have racing thoughts? I answered all his fucking questions as politely as I could. I was an angel in this fucking place, like clear-headed. Absolute manners. And well, we're gonna keep you here. You have to be seen by a doctor, so you're gonna stay here. Here, sign this thing that says you're gonna be here for 72 hours. Maybe we'll let you out early if a fucking miracle happens, which it did, but I'll get to that later. And if you go over the 72 hours, we can shove you in the hospital. And you could be here longer. Not to mention, I was in the middle of doing work for my full-time job when the cops showed up. And the cops didn't allow me to leave with my glasses or my phone. So I can't see. And I have no contact information for anybody. Not my own family, not my friends, nobody. I'm sorry, we live in a day and age where you're a fucking unicorn if you forget, if you remember phone numbers. Nobody remembers phone numbers anymore why you have a cell phone with you at all times that does that for you and syncs it up with a larger network so you never lose your contacts. Because why the hell else wouldn't you be around a computer, you know, within X amount of time to get your information if you needed it? Well, I'm in this room with a woman that looks like she's straight off the street, snoring her ass off. I was in the facility from 12 p.m. on Friday to about 4 o'clock on Saturday. And this woman did not wake up the entire time and just snored and snored. Nobody cared. The staff in the room, and we're locked in this room, you know, this is, you're not allowed to leave the room. And the staff, I could not believe how loud this woman was snoring, and nobody complained. What? I don't know. I didn't say anything, but at some point, you know, in the night, I had to ask for a sleeping pill because I don't know how the fuck anyone could sleep. The other thing is that I was devastated in this place. I wanted out immediately. This is bullshit. Why am I here? Based on a fucking dumbass Facebook post. I freaked out and I wanted out. Nobody else, everybody else in there was having a great time. Just, shit, I don't know, vacation for them, you know? I guess their lives are so fucked that this was a break. But I wanted out. I started to panic. And they're trying to give me Ativan or something to calm me down, and I didn't want it. I didn't want any drugs. The only thing on my mind was, why am I here? Get me the fuck out of here. How did this happen? I'm making all kinds of phone calls. What happened was is that the staff nurse was able to go on the internet and find my mother's phone number for me because I didn't have any numbers. And I had a feeling my mom would be listed because she is like the last person that I know that still has a home phone instead of just a cell phone. So I get my mom's number. I call my mom. Hey, do you know what's going on with me right now? No, what's going on? Well, thanks to my sister, I'm sitting in a mental institution right now. Oh, well, okay. And this is my mom's voice. No concern, no shock, no... And I'm just like, did you fucking hear me? Can I get a little more of a reaction? Why am I here? Well, we saw that post on Facebook and somebody called me and we were concerned. You know why you're concerned is because you don't know who I am. You live 3,000 miles away in your shithole small town, afraid of the world. And you sit around and judge people and their lifestyles and their way of thinking and their speech and their words and their skin and their financial status. This isn't a shocker to you because you don't know who I am. If you knew me, if I was the type of son that you actually knew, you would realize that your actions are completely absurd. I'm begging my mom and I'm being very forceful. I'm telling her, call this doctor now. Tell him you made a mistake. I should not be here right now. Get me out of here. Now, she talked to the doctor after she told me she was going to do these things, and I was very mean to her and angry and just blowing up. And I told her, basically, you're going to do this, and you're going to do it now. Okay, I'll do it. What number can I call? And I give her the number. Well, she talked to the doctor. She told the doctor that I'm severely depressed and that I should be kept in the facility as long as legally binding, or whatever you want to call it. Bad choice of words, but the point is that she did not attempt to give me back my freedom to make my own decisions and deal with things in my own way. She did the opposite. She had an opportunity to do the right thing and realize that this was an oversight and an overreaction from people who really don't know me anymore. And I'm sorry that it is like that with my family, that we are so distant. We are just very different people with very different goals in life and ways of looking at life. And it's unfair of me to expect her to even try to understand. But don't fuck with my free will. I live in California because it's freer than most places. The freedom here we have in California is pretty fucking great. And I mean freedom to do things like smoke marijuana with a doctor's prescription, all the way to the freedom to have an opportunity to see a microcosm of the rest of the world in our own backyard. Cultural differences and whatnot that exist here that you will never get in fuckhole Pennsylvania. So she fucked up. Next, I call my sister. Get a hold of my sister. First thing my sister says, Jeremy, you need help. You need to be in there. You're severely depressed. We don't know what's going to happen with you. I don't think that a psychiatrist would be comfortable making a diagnosis from 3,000 miles away. To someone that they never saw before, to someone that they don't at least know something about. I did the same thing to my sister and was direct in telling her that I need to get the fuck out of here. I don't belong here. There's a guy in the corner right now, laughing maniacally to himself, talking to himself, talking to two pieces of trash, saying that the one piece of trash was his girlfriend, the other piece of trash was his father. "Dad, why are you trying to fuck my girlfriend?" Then he would laugh. "Dad, why are you trying to fuck my girlfriend?" Another laugh. I have a woman that came off the street having heroin withdrawals. She has junk sickness. She's puking all over the room. This is at 3 a.m. I can't sleep in this shit. You'd have to be insane to be able to have these things going on 5 feet from your face and sleep through them. Another guy comes in the middle of the night. Gangbanger. Has artificial knees because when he was 12 years old, somebody bashed his legs in with a bat, an aluminum bat, and busted his kneecaps. Came in openly admitting he wants to kill himself. "How are you going to do it?" "I'll just jump in front of the 224 bus, the 224. Staff laughs. "Oh, that's the bus that comes here. I don't know. I know what I meant to say is I know that the system has limited resources and tries to do the best that it can with what it's got. But there's something wrong about being exposed to something like that when and being lumped into the same class as these people. Because once you're in that room, you're as crazy as that fucking guy talking to trash in the corner of the room. It's just that your craziness hasn't come out in the same way. But there's something in you that's crazy, just like that guy. And you're treated just like a jerk off. These staff guys are just trying to get through their day. They got a shit job and they probably don't get paid very much at all. They're probably doing better than some of their friends and family, but at the end of the day, it's still a shit job. And I'm asking this staff, "Hey, I got to talk to a doctor right away. There's something very wrong with what's going on in here and the fact that I'm here right now. I am in no way suicidal. I am in no way a danger to anyone else. And I don't want to be here right now. I don't need to be here right now. If I'm here based on 5150, I don't match the fucking profile. Get me the fuck out of here. I want to talk to a doctor now. I'm telling you the things going through my head. Of course, I'm being very polite. And even when the staff is like, oh, yeah, I'll go let the doctor know. And I know that it's bullshit, I'm not getting pissed. I at this point, am beaten down. And I'm still trying, but I'm not expecting results. So I'm trying to deal with the fact that I'm going to at least be here until the next day because I'm not going to see a doctor that's worth shit tonight. And they don't give a fuck. And these staff don't give a fuck. And nobody gets out of here at, midnight. You're waiting till the next day. You're going to deal with it whether you like to or not, one way or another. And the frustration that you feel, I can completely understand how this situation, the environment, the thing that you're forced into can cause people to act out and in ways that maybe is not representative of their actual attitude and the way that they behave. Because what is more frustrating than someone telling you, like, you have to stay in this room. You can't leave. For someone like me, that is a highly frustrating situation. I am someone that is very, very used to their free will. I wake up when I want to. I go to sleep when I want to. I eat when I want to. I take a shower when I want to. I go places when I want to. I do nothing when I want to. No, you're not going to do that anymore. You're in our system now. We're here for your own good. And we've determined that you are mentally unstable based on the words of someone from 3,000 miles away that saw your face on your post on Facebook. Which, to add to that, I saw the report that was in my file. There was no mention of it being a Facebook post. There was no quote of the actual thing that I said that supposedly made me a 5150. It just said, patient is severely depressed and wants to kill himself on Xanax. That's what's in the file. That's what the doctor sees the next day when he finishes his morning coffee and gets to become familiar with the patient files in the morning to get an idea of what he's dealing with. He doesn't see this asshole made a dumbass Facebook post and his fucked up family took it upon themselves to overreact without even speaking to him or without any understanding of who it is that they're calling who it is that they're calling the police on. It doesn't say any of that. It says, severely depressed, wants to kill himself on Xanax. It's fucking great. That's the most construed representation of the truth. And that is in my file, and that's what's in writing, so that's all that matters. You have to explain that. Don't tell me about Facebook. Why do you want to kill yourself on Xanax? That's what you put on Facebook. I got a Facebook friend that says he likes to fuck dead animals. And says shit like, you know, that dead hooker sure was a good fuck or something. You know, like he comes up with morbid shit and that's just his deal, you know. I know him. So I'm not calling the fucking cops on him when I see a fucking Facebook post because I know that that's just, you know, regardless of how stupid it may be, I don't know. But then you look at the flip side. What do you do, okay? There's some severely depressed people out there that like to put their final words on fucking Facebook before they blow their heads off. And I get that. I know that that exists. So I don't know. I'm doing this to try to sort out my feelings about what just happened these last few days. And I don't know what the answers are. I feel like a grave injustice was done to me by forcing me to go through a situation that I don't think was remotely necessary. And to give an idea of the hopelessness of having your freedom stripped from you. I'm 36 years old. This shit was different when I was a little kid. 'Cause you're not already taking care of yourself. But at this age, for something like this to happen, that was pretty devastating. And I don't think my sister or my mother will ever understand what it's like to go through the system and be on the other side. My sister's a drug and alcohol counselor. She's been behind the mirror. She hasn't been on the other side. She gets to make her judgments about her patients. Does she get to know her patients? Does she understand their pain? I don't know. It becomes an assembly line, the social system. There's too many fucked up people out there to give everyone your undivided attention or to understand everyone's the origins of their sickness, whatever it may be. You do what you can for as little money as necessary. You get them out the door, you get them to the next level. You either get your freedom back or you go one step away from it and you keep going till you no longer have that option. You're insane. Look at your irrational thoughts. And then my friend, my lifelong friend, he thinks he understands. His psychology about how things should be and his spiritual quest to reaffirm the life that he's built for himself, far away from challenge or indifference. Working constantly, going after that money. Money. It's the only thing that matters. He thinks that this last episode had something to do with the girl that I had a traumatic experience with. So he goes onto Facebook and he tells her in his own way how stable he is and how he's got his shit together. It tells her how weak I am. I'm very weak. And he gives her advice. Man, she would fucking break him apart in a second. Makes her promise to never talk to me again. Dude, do you know who the fuck you're dealing with? What kind of power do you think you have over her? You think she respects you? That's pretty fucking hilarious. I knew about it 4 seconds after I got into the fucking door. And you give me this bullshit line on Facebook. She said she's not going to stop taking advantage of you. And she's not going to stop her bullshit as long as you keep doing it, man. And she's just going to keep using you. That's what she said. Let's see the line. I got it right here. Talked to her on here last night to stop being dumb. She pretty much told me she doesn't care and will continue to pull her shit if you keep letting her. I know it's a lie. It's a bad lie. It's not even... like she said to me today, if this were true, and if she was doing that, she's certainly not gonna fucking say that to you. Maybe you're pissed because things didn't turn out the way that you wanted them to. Maybe you're pissed because you wouldn't be in California right now if it wasn't for me. You're making all your money working, doing your thing, hiding. Well, I never said that I was going to have an easy life. I never said that I'm a emotionally grounded person. I know I'm not. I never will be. I don't want to be. Some people need the hard way. And that's just the way it is. And I admit that maybe some of these things that I've done with this girl, that I continue to do with this girl, probably not the best thing to do. Some of these things. Because the things you don't understand are the times that I have amazing fun with her. And I love the way that she makes me laugh. And then I hate the things when she tells me that she's in trouble and she doesn't realize it. She doesn't say she's in trouble. She looks at me with those eyes and she wishes she could snap her fingers and not have any of the issues that she has. But she knows that life isn't that easy. Way more than you fucking do. You think life is a joke. You think it's a game. And you just want to play the game. So funny. It is actually funny to me thinking that you thought for a second that she wouldn't tell me everything and actually show me the conversation that she had with you. For example, I have to look it up, but she showed me the conversation right on her phone. I know you're a liar. I knew you were a liar the second I read that message. It was a fucking joke. She wrote, "I don't have much self-worth. Jeremy seems to think I do. He appreciates me, and that's why I like hanging out with him. I know it's unhealthy. I'm no role model. In a weird, fucked up way, we find peace with each other. Or at least I thought we did. I don't know how things got so fucked up. This is not your problem. I don't expect you to care or understand. I'm just sharing my thoughts." That doesn't sound like she pretty much told me she doesn't care and will continue to pull her shit if you keep letting her. That doesn't sound like that. You betrayed me, man. You've been talking shit about me for a long time. What the fuck do you do? work all day. It's so fucking important, isn't it? Keep making that money. I'd rather be in a box on the street than to be someone like you, thinking you got it all figured out, thinking you can tell other people how they should feel or what they should think. I saw you kissing her ass in your messages to her. It's still in the back of your mind, huh? How hot she is. How pissed you are that I got to have that experience and you get a Japanese wife that doesn't do shit and fucking sits there laying at your feet all day. 40 something, doesn't want to do anything. Used to being taken care of. Fuck you. I will live and I will lose and I will live and I will lose again. And at the end of my life, I'm going to have a lot of fucking stories. I'm going to have a lot of memories, good and bad. And I'm going to be able to say, hey, remember that time that I started that radio studio from scratch? Remember that time that I got to travel to New York City with the most beautiful girl I have ever seen in my life, and we lost our fucking minds? What are you going to say? Oh, remember that time that I helped Jeremy out so much by telling him to stop being fucked up, letting him in on my theories about life, when all you do is sit in a fucking house in Oakland? Yeah, you know so much. You're so fucking smart. You got it all figured out. Remember that time I called you on the phone and I told you I didn't know if I could keep going? And I didn't want to do it anymore. I just was going to give up. Well, I'm still here. Maybe you did me a favor in the end. Because the last thing I fucking want is for you to be right. My new motivation is showing people that I'm gonna fucking be here for a while. And I'm gonna do something more powerful and all these people that like to sit around and judge me. Tell me who I should be, how I should act, how I should think. Fuck that. This kind soul who doesn't even know me and probably now wishes that she never met me. She saved my fucking life. She did the right thing. Somebody that barely knows me. And I'm so embarrassed. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, this girl is beautiful and highly intelligent. Like, you know, one of those people where you can talk to them for a minute and you're like, okay, this isn't a dumb chick. Like, she's very, very smart. The wit is what reveals how intelligent she is. And for me, that's always a tell sign that I haven't slept in 3 days. Anyway, she called the doctor, spoke to the doctor on my behalf, told the doctor that she was my girlfriend, said that, I own and operate my own business. I have a full-time job. People rely on me. You see no reason to believe that I am in danger to myself or anyone else. She said all the things that I begged my family to say that they refused to say because they're 3,000 miles away in Pennsylvania, and the only thing they know about me is the little that I tell them. Because I don't like explaining, what am I going to talk about, Mom? What'd you do today? Nothing. Cool, I went to Sirius Radio today, and I might be board hopping for Sirius Radio part-time. And, you know, Keith Coogan did a great show on my radio studio today. And I went down to King Eddie's Saloon and saw all the people that know me in King Eddie's Saloon. And I bought the whole bar a round of drinks. And everybody came up and shook my hand. People that are on the fucking row that just need another fucking drink. And I got it for them. What'd you do today? Watch TV. I'm sorry. I don't have nothing to talk to you about. I'm sorry that we're so distant, that our relationship is just kind of based off of, like, blood and not much else at this point. I chose to live in California. I chose to go somewhere and live as full of a life as I possibly could. And for some fucked up reason, I'm able to have a job that allows me to have these experiences. And I don't know why, and I always try to figure it out, because I don't try too hard, to be honest. Just trying to sort out my feelings and try to figure out how this fucking mess happened and figure out how to go forward from here. And to be honest, I'm feeling pretty fucking motivated at this point to show everybody what I can do when I do actually fucking try. And I will fucking annihilate you. You know, you don't always get second chances, and I've had 50 second chances. Somehow I'm always able to make it out, usually on top, to be honest. I'm not going to let someone who is people in a shithole small town that barely know me to decide my fate based on what they think it should be and what path I should take. I'm not going to let a guy who claims to be my friend and then lies to my face and tries to act all high and mighty like he's got it all figured out, but yet he hides in the Oakland Hills with his fucking Japanese wife that no one can fucking even understand, let alone, like, relate to. Who do you talk to? You've cut off everybody. This is who you are. This is how you deal with life, and you try to act like you know how to deal with life. You got it all figured out. You have peace of mind. What do you do other than work for other people all day? What do you create? What do you put out there in the world that is going to cause some inspiration. Obviously, there's a huge amount of anger coming from me right now. The best revenge is success. But I can no longer allow these people to influence my life. What happened to me these last few days should not have been possible. But I got through it. I'm done. I'm sitting in my radio studio right now, talking live on the air to probably nobody. Oh, we have some listeners. Wonderful. But this is real. This is what I wanted for this studio. I want people to talk about things that are real. Not right or wrong. But what's real. So that's my 5150 story. I proudly displayed my wristband last night as I went out with these people and the girl who convinced the doctor to release me into her custody, and she came and got me and got me the fuck out of there. I felt like I narrowly escaped jail. Like, I got out of jail. I owe her a lot. Somebody like that, there's a compassion there that I don't think exists in a lot of people these days. And I got to spend the day today with someone that I love in a way that I've never been able to really explain, even to her. And she wishes I didn't love her, and I do too. But when she needed somebody, she called me. But according to my good friend, she pretty much told me she doesn't care and will continue to pull her shit if you keep letting her. You thought that would work? God. You think she has an allegiance to you? Based on what? Fool. $51.50. Institutionalized. November 2nd, 2012. Olive View Emergency Psychiatric Ward. Never again is this going to happen to me without my consent. Never again will someone take away my free will. Never again will this happen.
I try to do things, and it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. And I get real frustrated. And like, I try hard to do it, and I like take my time, but it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I concentrate on real hard, but it just doesn't work out. And everything I do and everything I try, it never turns out. It's like I need time to figure these things out. There's always someone there going, hey Mike, you know, we've been noticing you've been having a lot of problems lately, you know? Maybe get away. And like, maybe you should talk about it, you'll feel a lot better. And I go, no, it's okay, you know, I'll figure it out. Just leave me alone, I'll figure it out, you know? I'm just working on myself. They go, well, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'll be here, you know? And you'll probably feel a lot better if you talk about it. So why don't you talk about it? I go, no, I don't want to, I'm okay. I'll figure it out myself. They just keep bugging me. They just keep bugging me. They feel them inside. It's gotta be a suicide. So come and pray with my side. You will laugh and say, I'm afraid when you just get away. I'm not crazy. Here's the desire. The other one is crazy. Here's the desire. You're tired of being crazy. Here's the desire. They take me in and it's too good. They want the only solution to give me the professor. I'm taking from the enemy myself. I was in my room, and I was just like staring at the wall, thinking about everything. And then again, I was thinking about nothing. And then my mom came in, and I didn't even know she was there. She called my name, and I didn't hear her. Then she started screaming, Mike, Mike! And I go, what? What's the matter? She goes, what's the matter with you? I go, there's nothing wrong, Mom. She goes, don't tell me that. You're on drugs. I go, no, Mom, I'm not on drugs. I'm okay, I'm just thinking, you know? Why don't you give me a Pepsi? She goes, no, you're on drugs. I go, Mom, I'm okay, I'm just thinking. She goes, no, you're not thinking, you're on drugs. Normal people don't act that way. I go, Mom, just give me a Pepsi, please. All I want is a Pepsi. And she wouldn't give it to me. All I wanted was a Pepsi. Just one Pepsi. And she wouldn't give it to me. Just a Pepsi. He was good with the teeth. Never back to be a thief. Just yucky, just lazy. It's a good damn crazy. Oh, I'm not crazy. Here's the desire. You're the one that's crazy. Here's the desire. You're trying to be crazy. Here's the desire. I was sitting in my room, my mom and my dad came in. They pulled up a chair and they sat down. They go, Mike, we need to talk to you. And I go, okay, what's the matter? They go, me and your mom, we've noticed lately you've been having a lot of problems. And you've been going off for no reason. And we're afraid you're going to hurt somebody. And we're afraid you're going to hurt yourself. So we decided that it would be in your best interest if we put you somewhere where you can get the help that you need. And I go, wait, what are you talking about? We decided my best interest? How do you know what my best interest is? How can you say what my best interest is? What are you trying to say? I'm crazy. When I went to your school, I went to your churches, I went